Welcome to Seed to Scale.
We're four investors with backgrounds as founders who met at the engineering school at the University of Pennsylvania.
Tim Young.
Nihal Mehta.
Hadley Harris.
Vic Singh.
We started ENIAC in 2009.
With more than 80 years of combined experience building our own companies.
We now lead seed rounds and bold founders who use code to create transformational companies.
Starting a company from the ground up is really hard.
In this podcast, we'll be having conversations with some of the most interesting founders, investors, and influencers.
About the ins and outs of building an early stage company.
We talk about it all.
Funding, growth, and everything it takes to build a lasting business.
Hi guys, this is Hadley from ENIAC. I'm super excited for today's episode where I speak with Che Huang, the co-founder and CEO of Boxed.
As the business gets more complex, and frankly, as life gets more complex, that trust is also really important to know that, you know, we're on the same page, to know that, hey, what's best for the company is best for all of us.
Not only was ENIAC lucky enough to be their initial seed investor, but we've been able to see him grow the company from his parents' garage in New Jersey to hundreds of employees with over $130 million raised. Along the way, he's built a very unique and personal culture that speaks to who he is as a leader, a CEO, and a person. We'll dig into how his role changes every 6 months and even reveals what it felt like to not get a single order in the early days. But more than anything, as a founder, Che knows how to roll up his sleeves, tape up a box, and stick to his vision. Che, why don't you start by telling our listeners a little bit about your background and how you guys came to start Boxed?
Started my professional career on September 15th, 2008 at a law firm that was located across the street, one block over from Lehman Brothers, 9 hours after they collapsed. And so that's where I got kind of born into professional society. So it's been a tumultuous run in my professional life, I'd say. But got back in touch with a few high school friends who felt like, man, this iPhone thing that had just come out at that time really has legs. So let's go after it. Let's build some games. Let's build Facebook style games for this iPhone and see where it goes. And luckily the thesis was right. And by the time mobile became big, we had already raised our first round and eventually were acquired by Zynga about 8 months before their IPO.
And then tell us a little bit about starting out Boxed, where the thesis came from, how you guys came to the idea and what those early days were like.
You know, after sitting in our chairs at Zynga and seeing the IPO and go from $10 to $16 and down to $1.85, I think we had a really good lesson on two different fronts. Like one was the kind of the things to do and the things not to do when you're running a company and taking it as it's scaling. And then also probably more importantly, we learned that mobile could be very powerful whenever it does go after a certain consumer-facing industry. And so we wanted to take that knowledge and go after the biggest prize that we could find, and that was mobile commerce. What were we going to do? What problem were we going to solve? And so we just looked at our own lives and tried to solve a very simple problem that luckily millions of other Americans had, and that was knowing about saving money by buying big, so going to Costco, BJ's, or Sam's Club, but not having either the physical means like a car or the time or the patience to go and solving that need for that consumer set.
How has your job kind of on a day-to-day basis as CEO, founder, changed from the early days to right now?
I feel like every 6 months at the rate that we've grown and evolved as a company, I still retain the title as CEO, but my day-to-day just looks almost nothing like what it was 6 months ago. And then 6 months before that, and then 6 months before that. Because, you know, when we had first met, Hadley, I was in a garage. I was literally in a garage, like when I take in the calls with you guys. Yep. And so I had the same title back then, man. Like I was CEO and co-founder. And what I was doing was, yeah, I'd call you guys once in a while, but I'd also be going right back and taping a few boxes in the afternoon and packing and buying the merchandise, unloading the trucks, all in the comforts of a central New Jersey garage. But 6 months after that, you know, we started hiring folks. So I was out there starting to raise money. 6 months after that, you know, we started hiring kind of logistics experts and building out a fulfillment network. Then 6 months after that, like I suddenly became kind of tasked full time to go direct with the major CPG manufacturers across the country. I'd say man, the constant has been that constant state of evolution of what I do day to day.
And when during that progression over the last 5 years, did you really feel like you and your co-founders looked at each other and said, you know what, this is working. This is just a question of execution.
I remember when it wasn't working, so maybe we should start there. So I think we soft launched in September of 2013, a few orders, friends and family, some investors. And then like in October, we had 2 full days in October that no one ordered anything from us. And it's nuts because, you know, we sell toilet paper. Every American uses toilet paper. So you would hope so, right? So, during those days, I remember like we already had a few employees. People were looking at me like, dude, is this really the thing? Because 300 million Americans, not one order from us today. And then to have it another day that same week, it was tough times. But I would say we were like, man, we're onto something. Right before we raised our Series A, which actually was the catalyst to raise the Series A, it was the Today Show, Kathy Lee and Hoda talking about us on their show and just said, you know, like no lines, they ship it directly to your doorstep, no membership fees, like what? And then they both said like genius at the same time. And then I remember that day, like we moved a good amount of merchandise and I thought, man, I think this might be going somewhere.
Yep. No, I remember those days. I remember coming into the old office and sitting down with you and Jared, and you showed me a chart right around that time when things started to take off and we were all really excited.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of times where a lot of folks were not excited before that, but luckily, you know, we caught that lightning moment and we were doing all right, man.
One thing that you and your team, I think, have done just extremely well is build an amazing culture at Boxed. And employee morale is very high. What are some of the things that you've done to really facilitate that? And what advice would you have for founders out there that want to build a great culture into their startups?
I think it's just understanding what we're good at and understanding what we won't be competitive in. And so to this day, I maintain that if it's all about cash comp, whether it's because you just want cash right now or because you just have a family of six that you need to feed. So you need to make 400K in base salary or else, you know, not all the mouths are going to be fed, then we're actually not for you. And so being very upfront and stating that to candidates and to employees here that we will be at market, but we're not going to get into a cash comp war against Facebook or Google. Just being upfront and setting those expectations has worked out pretty well for us.
One other thing you've done personally that's it's gotten some attention is paying for employees' children's college tuition and weddings. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that and where that came from.
You know, like in e-commerce businesses with fulfillment centers, you have a distinct need to motivate not only the folks that are writing the code, but also the folks that are packing the boxes. And those folks packing the boxes remind me a ton of my family growing up. And so making sure that we're able to motivate them and making sure that they have access to the same levels of education that I had access to is really important. You know, some of the other things in terms of weddings and stuff like that, we had distinct needs when fulfillment center employees had complete shocks to the system or to their own kind of personal economics where, you know, folks couldn't pay for their wedding because, you know, they had to pay for their kind of parents' medical bills. And so they couldn't get married. They couldn't afford the wedding in time for their mom to be able to attend. And so we were presented with things like that, that kind of forced us to think, okay, so we don't have some of the other fringe benefits. What are the things that we can concentrate on that will actually help with the happiness and the stability of the people here? And weddings was part of it.
I'm sure you get asked this all the time. How do you think about Amazon and how does Box differentiate itself over time versus them?
You know, we offer an experience where it's really easy to build a basket. And the proof is in the pudding. Our average order value is about $100. It's about 8 to 10 items per order. And folks generally are not spearfishing like a single item and checking out. You know, just setting it and just like totally saying, okay, once a month I do my box shop has been really powerful for our customer set. on the back end, in terms of the business, we needed to be smart and think about how we could replicate the cost structure of Amazon without the scale of Amazon. So we do so in a few ways. So we map everyone to your local fulfillment center so that things don't travel via air and things don't travel across the country to get to you. So that allows over 90% of our customers to get their boxes in 2 days or less via ground shipping. So it's not only economical to ship, but it's also prime level service or better for 90%+ of our customers. Actually, almost 50% get overnight free shipping from us, and that's a better than prime level service.
Pulling it back to the early stages, one thing we've seen now investing for 8 years, which seems amazing at this point.
8 years, okay.
Eight years, we're getting old.
Oh my god.
We see a high correlation between multiple founders who knew each other prior to starting that company and success. Now you have three co-founders. You guys all have known each other for a while. You had worked together. Curious what you think about that and how that helped you, especially in those early days as founders.
A lot of it is just trust and chemistry. And so probably chemistry to start with. It's like folks who have played on a basketball court for so long. It's kind of like you just throw it up there and someone's going to alley-oop it and dunk it, right? So that kind of innate chemistry, knowing what people are doing and knowing kind of if they do it well or not is really a powerful thing. And then later on, as the numbers get bigger, as the business gets more complex, and frankly, as life gets more complex, that trust is also really important to know that, you know, we're on the same page, to know that, hey, what's best for the company is best for all of us, and that there's no egos in play. I think it's really important. And that oftentimes only comes with time.
It makes absolute sense. Che, thank you so much for joining us. It's been illuminating as always. It's been an absolute pleasure working with you over these last 5 years, and excited for what's next with Boxed.
Thanks for inviting me, Hadley.